Amen. Well, this evening I'm proposing to look for the last time in this series at the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. It's been quite a long, drawn-out time in this book. We've had some gaps, we've had long breaks, but we've now come to the conclusion. And just to remind you where we have been, in chapter 1 we find Paul is taken up with the grand and great theme of God's electing purposes. Verse 4 of chapter 1, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. And Paul continues in this magnificent theme of the work of God in redemption, in salvation, and the great blessing that is administered to his people. In chapter 2, we come and we see how all of us are undeserving, all of us are rebels, all of us are by nature at enmity against God, but God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, has shown great love toward us, so that the people of God must say that we are saved by grace, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then Paul reminding the Ephesian believers that they are, with the Jews, one in Christ. They are not a second-class citizen in the kingdom. They are Christians saved by grace, and they are one together with Christ. And that comes out in chapter 3 as well. Paul remarks as to how privileged he is that he has been called to be a minister, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, and he recognizes that he is unworthy of such a favor and blessing. And he comes and filled with glory and praise as you come to the end of chapter 3, as he is taken up with the wonder of the love of Christ. Chapter 4 is more practical as you come through 4, 5, and 6. And here he is speaking about the unity that they have one with each other in Christ. They are different, but they are one in him. And then we see how we are to walk. We are to walk in love. We are to walk in other things as well that are right before God. We see how we are to not be angry and not to give place to the devil. And then we see identifiers of the new and changed life that we have in Christ. And so it affects our walk, it affects our talk, it affects our thinking. And then as we come toward the end of chapter 5 and into chapter 6, we see how we are to be Christians in all parts of our life, whether that's in marriage, in family, in employment, or as employers. And then Paul concludes, as we thought last time, concerning the wonderful provision of the armor of God so that we may stand against our wily foe, the devil, and he comes with all of his tactics and schemes in order to bring the people of God down. But there is victory, not in our own abilities, but in the power of Christ. And Paul concludes by saying that he wants prayer. Please pray for me, that he may have boldness to speak the things of Christ. But coming to verse 21, down to the end of the chapter, we have a few practical mentions, perhaps, or a few warm and kind mentions. So, for example, when you come to the end of the epistles, you discover that Paul or Peter, they will say certain things. So, for example, Paul on one occasion is saying, don't forget to bring the parchments to Timothy. He will make mention and bring greetings to various people in the church, such as in Romans chapter 16. But here Paul is telling the church at Ephesus that a man is coming to them with this letter. He's going to bear this letter, and he's going to be an encouragement to them. He's going to impart to them information and details about the ministry that Paul has been engaged in. Because after all, at this point, Paul is currently in prison. He's under arrest in Rome. And so we have this mention of this beloved brother, this faithful minister, a man by the name of Tychicus. Now, he's one of those Bible characters that we probably don't pay too much attention to, but he does pop up and crop up in a number of the epistles and in Acts of the Apostles as well. And whilst we may naturally focus more upon the ministries of Paul, or Peter, or John, we may forget that they are not alone in the ministry and the work that they are involved with. For example, when you come to the Apostle Paul, for example, you discover that he is going on missionary journeys with a number of individuals. And they're mentioned in Acts chapter 20. We have other people mentioned, Barnabas, Silas, John Mark, that were companions with Paul on his journeys around various places. And so the work of the gospel is never advanced by one individual. It is not down to one man's effort and one man's endeavors that the kingdom is advanced. And we have here a little snippet of an army, because I don't believe Tychicus was the only one, but a number that were around Paul that were of benefit to him spiritually and practically, but also to the church at large as well. And so whilst there is little said about these characters like Tychicus here, it is not insignificant that they have been mentioned. They have been recorded. Their names have been preserved as a testament to their labours and to their faithfulness to the Saviour. In our society, things like fame and adulation are what people crave for. If you ask a large proportion of children as to what they want to do when they grow up, some of them only want to be famous. They only want to be an influencer, perhaps. And they're not so worried about having a career in medicine or engineering or something else. They just want to be a somebody. And here we have a man called Tychicus who is not a somebody. He's not out to make a name for himself. Now, that obsession with fame and position and prominence has infiltrated into the church as well. You have pastors and preachers, they want to make a name for themselves. They want the adulation of men. And we find that this is something that creeps in various ways. Perhaps it might be how many clicks or likes or views a sermon has got, or whether a quote that they have come up with becomes viral and goes around the World Wide Web in a matter of hours. Perhaps it's the number of books that they have written or the number of books that they are asked to endorse. And some of these things aren't necessarily wrong. They're not in it for those kind of reasons. But we must be careful about falling into this trap. And so Tychicus and the whole scheme of scripture and history is relatively unknown and relatively insignificant, but he is recorded here at this point. And that brings us to think about the fact that although he is not a somebody, he is not a nobody. He's not insignificant in that regard. He can't be forgotten. His contribution to the kingdom's work and to Paul's ministry cannot be underestimated. And although he may be rarely considered, he is recorded here. And Tychicus is recorded here, and it's remarkable how he's going to be used by God in this setting. When you look at the picture of the New Testament church, we see a number of pictures used. That's come out already in our studies in Ephesians, particularly in chapter 4, how that the church is likened to a body, and that body is made up of members. And the church has members, different people, part of that same body. They are all necessary. We can't say we have no use for the arm. We would be an unhealthy church. Or we can say we have no use for the ear or whatever it may be. Well, here he is playing a crucial but relatively hidden part in the kingdom of Christ. And what we discover about Tychicus is that he is to be marked and followed as an example of somebody that has a true servant spirit. He is to be considered in that regard. We can often fall into the trap of just listening to the loudest, the most vocal, but here is a man who was commended and is being set before us this evening for his diligent faithfulness to Christ. Local churches have histories that are littered with ordinary people living and serving their Lord. Their names may be forgotten by subsequent generations, but yet they are known to the Saviour. So what do we know about him? Well, we first meet Tychicus in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 4. And there the Apostle Paul is going on a journey, and he's heading to Jerusalem, and he has a number with him. And we read there in verse 4, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe, Timotheus and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. So we have this man, Tychicus, and he is of Asia, a native of Asia. We might refer to that as being Asia Minor. And Paul is on his journey to Jerusalem, and if you looked at Romans chapter 15, there he is carrying a gift for the afflicted believers there. And so Tychicus, he is a companion on Paul's missionary journey, and he would often be the encourager, the helper, and the one that assisted Paul in the ministry. But here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21, he is described as being a brother in Christ. If I come back to chapter 6, he says he is a beloved brother. He is also a faithful servant. In Colossians, which was sent at the same time as Paul's letter here in Ephesians, he is referred there in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, as being another beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, who I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Paul entrusts Tychicus to take this letter, or these letters, one to the church at Ephesus, one to the church at Colossae, and the letter to Philemon. And he is going with this man Onesimus on these journeys. And when Tychicus comes, he's going to relate to them what's happening with Paul, what Paul's been up to, what Paul is enduring, what Paul is going through, what has happened as far as the gospel is concerned in Rome. And then he's going to take back to Paul eventually the information and the news and all that kind of stuff from these churches, so that there is a communication between Paul and these believers. These are times before mobile phones and WhatsApp and social media or email, and so it is necessary that the word was taken like that. It's interesting that Onesimus is mentioned. We've looked at the epistle to Philemon. And Onesimus, he was a slave who had run away from Philemon. And he'd ended up, humanly speaking, people might say by chance, but it wasn't by chance. He ended up in Rome and in the place where Paul was. And as Paul is speaking to him, that man is wonderfully converted. And Paul tells him that he needs to go back to Philemon, back to the church at Colossae, and the church there were to welcome him back. And so Paul sends Tychicus with the letters and Onesimus, and he's going to go and he's going to help Onesimus reintegrate back into that fellowship. He's been wonderfully converted, and that is where he is to be stationed as far as the gospel is concerned. We find Tychicus being mentioned in other places. We find that Paul intended to either send Tychicus or another man to go to Crete in order that Titus could come to Paul in Crete, in Rome. And you can read about that in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 12. Titus 3, verse 12, "When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." We find that same thing happens as well in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, so that Timothy might be freed up to come to Paul there as well. "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus," that's where Timothy was the pastor, "the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." So Tychicus was a man who was willing to go wherever he was required. He was a man that was willing to do all that was needed, and he was a man who had a servant heart in him. And he is described as being a faithful servant of Christ. When we think about what our legacy might be like when we leave this earthly scene, people might want to think about the number of books that they've left behind for future generations to read about their works. Others might want to leave a great bank of audio or video sermons for future generations to look into. But to think what Tychicus is remembered for, he was a faithful minister in the Lord. He is a beloved brother. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he welcomes his servants into the kingdom, the great thing that we long to hear is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And Tychicus, although we know not very much about him, he is recorded in Scripture as being faithful. Paul then concludes this letter really where he began. He says, "Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." If you look back to verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul there says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so Paul there, it's not just a flyaway statement, spiritual nicety perhaps. He's reminding them at the beginning, it's all about God's grace. And he concludes, it's all about God's grace. Salvation is of the Lord. And that was the parting message that Paul wishes them to know and to have. They need to know and to have the grace of God upon them there at Ephesus. Well, I trust the Lord has blessed us as we've gone through this epistle. There's been much that should have been said that wasn't said. And I pray that the Lord would bless what has been said to your hearts and to the glory and honour of his name. It's quite a remarkable book, and it might do us good at home later or in the week just to reread this book through again and to frequently come to it, because there's some great and wonderful treasures and gems there.